I would also like to warmly welcome everyone in our midst, and we especially ask that our Lord be present, that He come to us, visit us graciously, speak to us, and accomplish what He has purposed through His Word. Then it is my special privilege to welcome the youngest daughter of our beloved brother Branham into our midst. God has laid and arranged it so that she is with us this weekend, and she probably resembles Brother Branham the most out of his four children. We now ask her to stand up. My sister Gertrude will translate.
God bless you. We welcome you in our midst. Right, God bless you.
Something special has happened. About 4 weeks ago, she had a dream vision, and in that dream vision, she was told, go to Brother Frank. And in that dream vision, she then asked to Brother Frank in Germany, and the answer was, yes, to Brother Frank in Germany. I last saw her many years ago, when she was still very young and unmarried. Today she has long been married, has 8 children to care for, and a loving husband, so she has rather a big task. So I haven't seen her for many years, and didn't know how she was doing or what was going on in her life. And if you ask her, she can confirm this and say that she never thought she would be here. And if the Lord had not arranged it so directly, she would certainly not be here today. We cannot go into what moves her and what troubles her, nor is it our place to do so, but God will help her. When something like this happens, we know that the need must be very great. And we have a wonderful song in our language, the need is never greater than the helper. In any case, we wish her God's rich blessings in our midst. We feel honored that God has led it this way, for we can all say from our hearts that we all love and cherish God's servants for the sake of God who sent them, blessed them, and used them. But since Brother Branham was sent with a special commission for our time, it is in the nature of things that we probably have a somewhat different relationship with him. And especially I, who ate and drank with him, rode in the same car, or sat in the same car, was with him in many meetings, and saw with my own eyes what God did and how He was able to use him. And she had an idea when she came. She thought to herself, Brother Frank will surely be about my father's age. Now she was surprised that I am not quite as old as she had thought. But whatever the case may be, God has His way with us all. We hope to be blessed again this evening. You know, I am at the end of the manuscript, and on Wednesday, my nearly 3-week missionary journey begins, and the time pressure is always a bit of a burden for me as well. That is why I preferred to translate a sermon by Brother Branham today. And I'm sure I can already say that it will be a blessing to us all. And so we will not take up much time, because as you know, it takes about an hour to listen to half of a sermon. And that is why we will start right away. Once again, I say, be welcome, all of you. Let us please be here with open hearts before God. Receive the word, go along inwardly, and let ourselves be blessed. Now let us go into the sermon. Together we will sing the chorus, Only Believe, and the Lord will bless us.
Glaube nur, glaube nur, alles ist möglich und glaube nur, glaube nur, glaube nur, alles ist möglich. Glaube nur, Jesus ist hier, Jesus ist hier, alles ist möglich, weil Jesus ist hier, Jesus ist hier, Jesus ist hier, alles ist möglich, weil
strange. I was standing here talking about Brother David, I believe, last night, and here he is appearing on a platform tonight. Well, that's mighty fine.
Brother David, we're happy to have you here in Chicago.
Thank you.
Nice to have you, brother, behind me here tonight.
No,
before the prayer now, time. Thank you, Brother, for the message of the Lord. You can pray for me.
It's nice to be out again tonight here in the auditorium, so beautifully seated out with the people and under expectations of seeing the working and of the Holy Spirit to come among us again tonight. We have certainly enjoyed every hour of this service being here since last Sunday evening, or last Sunday afternoon rather. We had such a wonderful, marvelous time, and the Holy Spirit has did great things in our midst. We have seen heal the sick and do miracles and save the people and fill them with the Holy Spirit and just great things. What more could we ask of Him than that and what we have seen Him do? I'm so glad to know that we're living in the last day, and as ministers of the gospel, we have the privilege of speaking, I believe, to the elect of God in the last days. And what a privilege this is for we ministers to have this privilege of sitting on earth here today and speaking to the last church age, the last church. I believe that truly with all my heart, that we're speaking now to the last church age that will finally wind up in the Laodicea church, and then Jesus will come and it'll all be over. And I'll be glad when that happens. I'll feel like John of old. Even so, come Lord Jesus. I've just about seen enough of it. I was going around and look like instead of getting better while the world gets more wicked all the time. So I think like John said, even so, come Lord Jesus. Then it'll all be over. And they still have this little book laying here of the printed vision. And every time I think of that, my heart burns to just get further into the meeting, do something right away, because it won't be long till perhaps we won't have time to do anything. So we want to do it now while we can do it. May the Lord add His blessings tonight again. Now tomorrow morning is the businessman's breakfast, I believe, right here on the grounds. I believe it's already been announced that there'll be a businessman's breakfast tomorrow, and I think the public is invited to this. As long as you come, well, we'll be very happy. And it falls my lot in the morning, if it be pleasing to God, to speak, one of the speakers at least, at the breakfast. And I trust that the Lord will meet with all of us. And if you've never been to one of these breakfasts, Some of you businessmen here in the city, it would certainly do you good to come and hear what God has did for other businessmen. Now, you may be a prosperous man as far as your business is concerned, but we're not trying to introduce something to you to make you a better, make your business better. We're trying to introduce something to you that'll make you better. That's Christ. See? Christ. As I said the other night, the church long lost its program when it tried to compare with the world, with education, and with frolic, and with the entertainment, and so forth. We'll never compare with them. The children of the night is smarter than the children of the day. They're wiser, Jesus said so. And we can never give them the entertainment. And after all, the gospel is not a glare, it's a glow.
Right.
It's a glow,
right.
Soft and sweet.
Right.
And there is one thing we have that the world does not have and cannot have unless it become one of us.
Right.
We have Jesus. That's it. We have Jesus.
Right.
We're not as smart as they are. We're not as far as advanced in science. We know nothing about that. And we are not trying to keep up with them in the... have a better education or better schools or so forth and say our church has this school and so forth. That's all right in that line, but we have Jesus. That's what we are trying to bring to the world is Jesus Christ. And He's the Son of God and He's our Savior. And we know Him in the power of His resurrection. And that's the real thing. Some of us, for myself, I do not, maybe not know his book too well, but I know him real well. And that's all I have to know is know him. Knowing his book don't give you eternal life, but to know him is life. To know him, the person of the book, is life. Now, tomorrow night again, then we expect, the Lord willing, to have another healing service, and then Sunday afternoon closes this meeting, and then I go off then to up northern British Columbia and Dawson Creek and Grand Prairie and Fort St. John and through that part of the country up there for perhaps the rest of summer. So be in prayer for us now, and we hope to see you at the breakfast in the morning and continue on through the meeting. Now, and don't forget now, you strangers, all these brethren up here tonight, the reason they're sitting here is because they're ministers of this same gospel. And find where their churches is and fill them up for them on Sunday morning now with a great rally. We just hope it leaves a real, real good revival just moving through the city and until Jesus comes. Now, little Joseph here, Bose, he's always told me that years ago out on Lakeshore Drive, we sat one day and he said, in his broken English, Bruder Branham, we have a... always had a feeling in my heart that I want to see Chicago shook. I want to see Chicago shook.
Yeah.
Said, years ago I come from New York here to see Chicago shook. The other morning, just before my interviews, I had breakfast with Joseph, and I've always loved him so much. And so then I said, Brother Joseph, your great desire has been fulfilled, only I don't believe you understand it. See, when you talk about shake a city, shake a nation, that doesn't mean that you're atomic fodder running around out here. That means the church. The church is the one gets the shaking. Just not the ecclesiastical group, but the body of Christ. That's the one that shakes and gets back into the line again. And the Chicago group knows that to be that they've had a real shaking in the last few years, in these last 6 or 7 years. How great man of God's come to this city and preached to the elect and signs and wonders and miracles has took place to that's without an excuse. Absolutely. That's without an excuse. It's repent or perish, that's all. Now, you that keep account of the takedown texts, as we would call it, I've got a few scriptures and notes written here tonight on a little subject that I ought to get through within by 11 o'clock, a little later. And so, last night, thank you, that's nice of you. Each night, Billy said, I want to see when you go to Chicago, if you can get through one night and at 9:30. I want to see if you can do it. Oh, I said, that'll be easy. I'm going to go preach 20 minutes any night. Every night he goes out, he said, how much did you miss it tonight? I said, not over 2 hours, something like that. But I don't know very much, but I just love to keep telling what I know. So, and it soaks in. An old minister one time went to a church. I know this is no place to, for joking. I don't mean this in jokes. But just that it might change the way thinking just for a moment. He went to a church, and the first night he preached was on repent. The second night he preached was on repent. The third, fourth, fifth, sixth night he preached on repent. Well, that was all right. So the elders of the church called him out and said, doctor, said, we appreciate your message on repenting, but for six nights straight you preached the same message on repentance. He said, oh, well, that's all right. He said, you don't have another message? He said, oh, yes, but let them all repent first, and I'll preach on something else. You see? That's it. If they all repent, well, then he'll preach on something else. So that's pretty good philosophy, yeah, you see. Yeah. Repent till we all get repented. That would be good. I'm sure we'd be here a long time. Over in 2 Kings, the 3rd chapter, and I want to read the 15th verse. But now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass, when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came up on him. And if I would want to pull from there a text that I might draw a context, I might take this subject here, getting in the Spirit. It was quite a change that happened around in Palestine these days. One great thing had taken place. A great and notable prophet had been translated, taken up into glory. And it was a great loss to the church when a great man like that is taken out. But what a consolation it should have given the nation, which was the church then, to know that this man being sent to them to represent God had went home without even dying. That had been raptured and taken up.
Yeah.
A very beautiful type Elijah was of this day, when maybe a little off the beaten line from some man who knows the Bible better than I, but I kindly believe that there'll be a message in the last day, something like Elijah, and that Elijah church-like will be not die but be translated, taken up. Fire will take it up into glory, the Pentecostal fire. We'll rapture it up. However, God always makes a way for His church.
Right.
When He's finished with one man, He has another one waiting.
Right.
And God takes His man, but never His spirit. He always got somebody else He can put His spirit on. And it's strange, but through the Bible, He never had two prophets, major prophets, in operation at the same time. He always had one prophet. Then when he got through with that, and he taken him away and put another in his place. That's what he had did. He just changed messengers, but the same spirit.
Right.
Elijah and Elisha. And how I wish I had time to enter it tonight to notice that when God had called the old tired prophet off the field, he had preached against Jezebel and her worldly crowd and bawled out Ahab's and leaders and ministerial associations and everything till he was tired. God was going to take him home, so he just brought him down to the river. And before he did, he wanted to anoint someone who'd take that same message. You see, that same message had to remain. So he went out and throwed his robe across Elisha. And Elisha, after he had the robe of Elijah on him, he must have took it back. He just throwed it across him and must have tucked it back again because it fell from his shoulders when he went up. Now, we find out that Elijah tried to discourage him. Said, you wait here because the Lord has called me up somewhere else. And then he find out he went to three stages, to Gilgal and on up to the school of the prophets and Jericho and then down to the river and crossed Jordan with him. If we notice, as we preached last Sunday on Abraham and his seed after him, we found out that he gave Abraham three junctions. Through justification, called him in the 12th chapter, 15th chapter through the blood sacrifice of sanctification, through the 17th chapter to nurse his strength from his body, the Holy Spirit into Abraham's body, to strengthen him for the oncoming son as he did the church. So did he the seed of Abraham, justification through Luther's sanctification through Wesley, the baptism of the Spirit through the Pentecostal move, then the placing of the Son, giving gifts into the church, then appearing in the form of, he was God in the flesh, manifesting himself, knowing the secrets of the heart and what Sarah was doing in the tent behind him. How those junctions and finding those churches coming right along in that same place. How he had to change the body of Sarah and Abraham next after that message in order to receive the promised son. That's what he's done to this church, brought it through the same thing. Now the next thing is a change in a moment in a twinkling of an eye and going, we'll have to have a changed body. Now Sarah and Abraham in that kind of a body could not receive the promised son. They were 100 years old. He had to change her body, not turn them back so much as to young, which he did, but also change them because they've been like they was at the first place. But he changed their body in such a way that they could receive the Son. Now we find the next thing in order for the church now is a changed body. Not us old people go back and be young so much, but we will, and we'll be there young, just as certain. But we got to have a changed body in order to receive the Son because we're going to meet him in the air. Rapture come, a changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye. Now we find out that God brought Elisha through the same process, three different stages, and then after he left the school, went down to the Jordan and crossed over Jordan. Then he had a double potion of Elijah's spirit was up on him. Now Jesus said, these things that I do shall you also, more than this shall you do, for I go to the Father, is a type of Christ and the church. Christ was taken up, and the same Spirit was up on Christ, came on his church. Now where Christ could only be in one place ministering, now in his church he could be universal ministering all around the world. Just think, here we are in Chicago tonight with Christ ministering. Over in Philadelphia, ministering Christ, Africa, Japan, Asia, Europe, everywhere. People at this very minute around the world are being healed by the power of God. Right. People are receiving the Holy Ghost by the dozens this very minute. See? Around the world. A double potion. His Spirit poured out in the last days. As soon as the school of theology up on top of the mountain from Jericho come back and seen Elisha cross over and seen the miracle he did just exactly like Elisha did it. Well, they said the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. And then we find out then that the people knew that the Spirit of God was upon this prophet. So they consulted him if he wouldn't perform some miracle for them, for something good. He said, we got a beautiful city here. It sits on the hill and the views are pretty and it's a fine place for a school and so forth, as Elijah has built, but the water here is bitter. And they needed some new spring. And of course they were changed and they had to have a new fountain opened up. And so you can't put new wine in old bottles, it bursts them, you know. And I think today is a day also when we need a change of water. We need a cruse of salt, a new cruse of salt in which there has never been anything in before. And God usually does that, rise up some little person out of somewhere that knows nothing and throws a cruse of salt into some old ecclesiastical water, and the first thing you know, it's all become sweet again. Another revival. The Holy Ghost falling on everybody, going everywhere. That's what we need tonight. That's what we need again, is another dash of salt. Don't you think so? To sweeten up the water. Remember, he took a brand new cruse wherein had been nothing and put salt in it. Now, salt is a savior if it contacts, but it's got to contact first. It's got to make its contact. Now in the Back in the political world, there had been a great change also. There had been a man by the name of Ahab had died, and his son Jerome reigned in his place. And he would just about like, oh, I guess his father Ahab, he had straightened up a few things, but got bad in some more. And so that's about the way it is due when we make up a new system, while we take out a few things the old system didn't have and put in something maybe worse, and we just keep moving on like that. But that's the way it had happened during this time. So a few nights ago I spoke on Jehoshaphat coming down to meet Ahab and made an alliance with him. And he got in wrong company. Now it's strange that Jehoshaphat's still king in the 18th year of his reign when Jerome taken over Ahab's place. Jehoshaphat came down, Jerome sent up to him because he got in trouble. And Jehoshaphat come right back again into the wrong company. Isn't it strange that we do those things?
No.
They jump right out of the frying pan into the fire.
No.
You find that people will, if they'll come right out and start to serve God, and then the first thing you know, they'll go right back into the world again. The Bible says, as a dog goes to its vomit, and a sow to the water. And the dog ought to know if the vomit made him sick enough to get it out the first time, it'll do the same thing the second time. And if the sin of the world will make a man realize that he's wrong once to make him repent, it'll do it the second time. So why not keep away from the thing anyhow? If it made you sick and you got rid of it, stay away from it. Keep out of the very appearance of evil. And we find out that that's the way that it goes, oh, and we just have it. So we always had it, so I guess we'll just continue to have it. But I'd imagine that Jehoshaphat thought, well, I'll go down and see, maybe this new pastor, Jerome, will be different. He'll be just a little different than what the old pastor was. But we find out he was a new pastor, all right, but he had the same old system. He had just added some new things to it, and it added in some new programs that maybe the old system didn't have. That's what I think we have did a lot of it today, friends. We have, and we Pentecostal people, that's a great deal of what we have did. We have taken the old system, and we try to start a new revival. But the first thing you know, we turn around and do with the new revival, just take the old system into it again. And that's what tears the thing up. Now, you're not long ago, they broke out a thing when the revival started in the Pentecostal rims called the Latter-day Rain. Well, they moved out to different places and they said, we're not organized, and come to find out they were organized tighter than the rest of them was. See, you got the old system back with the new pastor, and it just don't work, that's all. And it gets the whole thing into a confusion, then you're all tore up. So that's what happened here. Jehoshaphat went down to take a look at this new pastor, Jerome, and thought maybe he'd look over his system and see what he had, but it was only a hook to get him hooked into trouble again. And then with all the glamour and everything he had to offer him, we find out that they went 7 days without consulting the Lord.
Yeah.
Without knowing for sure that God was in their midst.
Yeah.
Now, what's the trouble? We start on these things but never stop to find out whether really it's the Lord in our midst or not. Or whether it's some kind of an emotion or some kind of a workup or some kind of a foolish system or something. We ought to solve the thing out and see if it's of God or not. I think that's where we make our mistakes. It's 7 days the church has traveled, and we find out that in 7 days' time, just taking it for granted that God was along, that's what we've done. Just take it for granted, oh well, we'll go join church, God's in it, no doubt at all. Search out and find out whether God's in it or not. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Signs, wonders, miracles. And when we see our churches cooling down and those things not happening, you have to wait till you get some special evangelist in the town or something and beat a few tambourines and work up a little emotion. God isn't in that. No, I'll tell you what we need today is a back to the old Bible again. Back to the old-fashioned Pentecostal teaching of the Bible. Back to the Holy Ghost. Back to the power of God. Back to all-night prayer meetings where they're hungering and thirsting for God. That's what we need tonight in our churches, to bring that into our systems. They found out then it's 7 days' journey finally brought them to a desert. And we found out the same thing. We've had 7 church ages. We're living now in the 7 church ages. What have we done when broke out a revival? We fixed up a system and made us a little group over here that we believe this and we won't have nothing to do with this group, and this group fix them up a little group. They won't have nothing to do with this group here, and they just start fussing, stewing, back and forth. And now we find out in the midst of all of it that we've gone about 7 days and not having God in our midst. It's right. Now the prophet said there would be a day that would not be called day or night. It would be kind of a gloomy, dismal day. We've had that kind of a day. We've had a day for the last 2,000 years where we've had meetings and accept Jesus as God's Son, as our Savior, and we've seen God do great things among us, but yet it's been a long time since the Pentecostal life. 2,000 years we made organizations, built big schools, and had systems, and find out here in the 7th church age, we find out we've missed something. Yes. There's something wrong. We find out we got into a desert, and all the fruits has dried up. That's what the Pentecostal churches did today, is organize itself so tight till it's against one another until we found out that all the fruits has dried up. We don't have no more love, peace, joy, long-suffering, fellowship that we ought to have like they had at the beginning. The fruits have all dried up in the deserts. 7 days going without finding the real living God. We've run off on little isms. God gave Luther justification, he run off with it. He gave Wesley sanctification, he run off with it. He let the Pentecostal people speak in tongues and they run off with it. God wants to call us together in a unity of power to bring back the fullness of the Holy Ghost into the church again with all the spiritual gifts and operation in every local body. Yes, 7 days without God led him into a desert. It's the same thing now. His fruits dried up. I imagine as they moved out over the hill from the green valleys and things, they begin to see the places kind of drying up. You know, everybody wants a hilltop experience and never want to take the valley.
That's right.
Everybody, the Pentecostal church too. Every night, if you're not shouting, dancing, jumping up and down, speaking in tongues, and running around over the floor or something like that, you didn't have any kind of a meeting. Well, you know, it's all right to be on the mountaintop. That's good. But let me tell you, your fruits will freeze up there at night. And when the cold spell comes, you lose all your fruit. That's what's happened now. We put too much on mountaintop experiences of dancing and shaking and jumping around instead of all-night prayer meetings down in the valley of decision where you have to come down there and meet God and really pour out your life until something takes place. We have let the... We've grown fruits up there, but the freeze kills it. That's right. Every time it comes a little cool spell, you've got nothing to rest upon. When the emotion or the dies down, then the shout's all gone. The noises cease, then where are you at? The temptation comes along, then you can't take it. What we need is get down to that grinding place, down there in that valley. Dig out. That's exactly right. It's where the church needs to be tonight. Well, I can imagine this. Notice the green life beginning to... you say green, yes, we might be green, but we got life anyhow. Everybody say, well, that bunch of Pentecostal preachers, some of them, I was at a school not long ago, and my son told some students, he said, well, I'm from the Southwestern Bible School myself. He said, if you can read and write, you're better off than that bunch over there.
Yeah.
Oh, my. We said, well, they're the greenest bunch I ever seen. Oh, brother, we might be green, but we're flexible. Anything that isn't green, you pull it a little bit and you'll break it.
Yeah.
That's what's the matter today with too many people's experience. It's too dry and stiff.
Amen.
We need something flexible so that the wind comes down and can blow it and rush it around and pull it around and make it grow. Get life into it. I'd rather be a little green and be flexible to the Holy Spirit so I can give to it instead of standing making a mournful noise like a funeral service when it's blowing across me, saying, days of miracles is past. No such a thing as divine healing. That's a funeral service. All them young trees, when they're flexible and can give to the Spirit, and the Spirit begin to move them like a rushing wind, fill them full of God's goodness. Oh, that's the kind of a life. It may be a green bunch, but it's a bunch that's got life in it. That's good. And if anything has got life in it, it's dead. That's scientifically known. That's dead. 7 days. And it was on that seventh day that they recognized what they had done. And I think we've come down through Luther, Wesleyan, and Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, and all down like that. And now it's in this last age that we've just recognized what we've done. I believe it's this time now that the Pentecostal church has recognized what it's done. The real Spirit-filled leaders, the real Spirit-filled Christians of the Pentecostal movement, they recognize that something's happened. They've cooled off because everybody trying to live on the mountaintop. Gone off without God. What we need today is get back to God. Get back to the experience. Get back. But it's in the seventh hour that they recognized that they were out there without fruit, no love, fussing one another. You're oneness and you're threeness and you belong to assemblies and you're church of God and you're this, that, that. We won't have nothing to do with you. Calling one another one bad name and one the other bad name. And the world turns around and looks and says, what's the matter with them people? Both of them speaking in tongues in this church and prophesying going on this and over here at this church. And they don't even respect one another. They haven't got any decency for each other. Oh, what we need today is back to the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, faith, long-suffering. God can send a gift among them and they'll call it telepathy. They'll call it the devil. They'll call it something else. If one church is sponsoring it and the other pick it up, it's all right now because this one had something to do with it. It's no good. Oh, my, my. What a pitiful condition.
Yes,
sir, we realize that the fruit of faith, the fruit of love, joy, peace, faith, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, patience. Patience? Well, they can't bear through 7 days of one another, hardly. 7 hours. Sometimes not even 7 minutes. They'll jump up and out of the church. If you say something, it's not just exactly what their little pet theory is. They got to get up and run out of church over it. Oh, they just can't sit still a minute. They got to get out of there. That ain't what Pastor so-and-so says. Hallelujah. I don't have to listen to no such stuff. Get out. Oh, you miserable. All right. There you are. Go ahead. But that's it, you see. They've lost all the fruit. We realize that. The fruit of the Spirit is dry, all topped off, and laying withered away, powdered, ready to blow away. It's such a condition. We realize now that our great organizations, they're all right, the organization, as long as it keeps God in it, as long as it has the fruit of the Spirit in it, as long as it's loving and kind and willing to fellowship and help the next brother, no matter how what he believes, if he's a brother and God give him the Holy Ghost, God gives those the Holy Ghost who obeys him. That's right. So if you've got the Holy Ghost, the Methodist has got the Holy Ghost, the Baptist has got the Holy Ghost, the Presbyterian's got the Holy Ghost, the Oneness has got the Holy Ghost, the Church of God's got the Holy Ghost, well, what are you fussing about? Let's get together. Let's move on. That's what we need. See, it isn't the organization. It's the system in that organization that pulls away. That's the devil that does that. So we find out that all of our try to big buildings and big building programs and so forth, I imagine as these fellows climbed up over this mountain, these kings and so forth, going up, they noticed in their big high mounting up building programs, they begin to see the fruit begin to grow smaller and smaller, and after a while there wasn't any fruit at all. And I know we've did that, and we've seen that in our time as we have moved along through this Pentecostal age when we were back out around the corner about 40 years ago. No place to go and had a little hole in the wall somewhere and a bunch of people laughing, calling them Holy Roller. Why, they were more spiritual than they are now. That's right. The church is in better shape, every one of the organizations then, than it is now. Spiritually speaking, oh, sure, we own millions of dollars worth of property. Well, that don't mean nothing to God. I'd rather not have one bit of clothes like John have a sheepskin wrapped around me and know Jesus Christ and know that my heart is pure and clean before Him. Well, I certainly have all the riches of the world. But the thing is, the church has went off without God. They've went off without and they found out the fruit of the Spirit has left the church. Long-suffering. Some of them with enough temper, why, would fight a buzzsaw. And then and talk about the Holy Ghost, see. Why, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, long-suffering. Suffer, yes, about 2 minutes, that's all. And away they gone, you see. So, long-suffering. Fruit's all dried up. Our big building programs is mounted up. That's right. Our great high educational programs is mounted up. Our pastors are better educated. Oh, my, my. We just got all kinds of degrees, and it goes a whole lot of degrees and freezing, too, when we get up there about that time. About 40 below zero, it seems to get. Oh, sir. But we got all of that. That's right. As we see, we're mounting up higher, but all the fruit and things is leaving. All the waters of life seems to be drying up. No more eternal life. It's almost like, as I said the other night, pastors are so busy and people are so busy swapping members. It's like taking a corpse from one morgue to another, just one place to another. That's right. Some of them's frying and others freezing. So that's just about the way it did. And I said, getting little isms, which after a while becomes wasms, and there we go, you see? And that's where the church has got to the fruits of the Spirit's all drying up. Everywhere. We see it everywhere. You know that's the truth. We just might as well come out and say it's the truth, because it is. And we find out that they were dying out there in the desert. What a horrible condition. Where that led them to? They're going off without God. Oh, they fetched the 7-day compass. Oh, sure. They got through all right. They can point back and say, we're the so-and-so and the so-and-so. That's true enough. But where's God? That's it. Where's God in the thing? We got bigger churches and big spires up on top of them, big crosses and plush pews, and we can compare with any of them we Pentecostal people can. Money flowing to who wouldn't, the best dressed crowds and Brother Cadillac sitting around everywhere. But where's God? Where is God? Then when He comes into the midst of it, many of them say, oh, don't listen to that now. That's nonsense. Don't pay no attention to that. See? Just dead stumps. That's all there is to it. That's right. Fruits dried up and gone a long time ago. Oh, what a terrible hour we're living in. And when this time comes, the first thing you know, they run out of water. They didn't have any water. And they begin to cry, alas, alas. Oh, God, You've been so good to us to give us these big buildings. But many of them begin to cry, where is the waters of life? You see communism moving in, see the world just about to its end, and prophets prophesying the end is at hand, and so forth. Then we wonder, where's the water at? What's happened? And there happened to be one crowd, a righteous one, cried out, isn't there a prophet somewhere that we could visit? Isn't there somewhere a prophet? The righteous Jehoshaphat cried out, isn't there a prophet? We're in a crisis condition. Isn't there someone, somewhere that we could consult about this? Now, if our organizations has got us into the place we are because we've separated ourselves from one another, seemingly not having the faith, then there's got to be something somewhere. Now, the righteous are crying out, where is that man of God? Where is that person can tell us? He's here tonight in the person of the Holy Ghost. He's the one that can tell you what to do. He's the one that can prick your hearts. He's the one that can unfold your sins. He's the one that can take the doubt out of you and the hope so and make a no-so in you. He's the one that can do it. That person of God called the Holy Ghost. He's the one that's present. Now, we find out that they all begin to cry out and seeing that the fruits is all gone and withered away and they was without water. And the righteous man, of course, the elected one, said, isn't there somewhere a prophet that we could consult? Isn't there somebody that we could get a hold of and knows how to get us out of this situation? Somebody don't belong to our mix-up here. We've all come in here and made an alliance, and we got together up here on top of the hill, and we're going to battle, and you find out we haven't got nothing to fight with. That's what's the matter with the church today. We got a lot of members all dead. We got a lot of great big organizations dead. We got a lot of enthusiasm, but it's in the wrong way. Who can dress the best and who can get the most ahead and who got the best school can win the most ball teams or play the best bunco or something like that. We want God! None of those things. Come back to God again! Where's it at? Isn't there a prophet somewhere that can tell us what to do? Isn't there somebody we could consult? Oh, what a condition. That was a cry of the righteous man. There's only one of them among them. That was Jehoshaphat. He was a good man, but he got in wrong company. That's what's the matter tonight. So many good men, a lot of good men, right, out in all them organizations out there, all down everywhere. Fine man!
Yeah.
But we're facing a fact. We're facing something that where Mohammedism and Buddhism and otherisms can put out as much psychology as the Christian church can put out. Right? What we need is not a psychology move, not a theology move, but we need a Holy Spirit move into the church and the people. Cry out, where is that God that once lived? Where is that God of Pentecost? Where is that God that takes a sinner's heart and washes as white as snow, who takes a prostitute from the street and makes a lady out of it, takes a drunkard out of the bar room out here and make a preacher out of him? Where is that God that can move out and take them crippled legs and straighten them out, make those blind eyes to see, them deaf ears to hear, make that cancer vanish away? Where is the God that did that one time? That's it. We found out that there's something wrong. The other night as I was preaching on the subject of the newsflash, greatest in history, old John, his eyes got, Prophet John was kind of filmed over. He was like, he had the spirit of Elijah, and Elijah had a breakdown when he was under the juniper tree. John had a breakdown in the prison, and he was a high-pitched prophet, them nerves on edge, and then his eagle eye filmed over. He said, go see if I've been wrong. Ask him if he's one or the one, or do we look for another? Jesus never sent him any book now. Here's how to have patience while you're in jail or so forth. What did he say? What did he tell him? He said, just stay and watch this afternoon's meeting, then go show John. The lame walk, the blind see. That John had preached a gospel that a Messiah was coming that would have fan in his hand and would thoroughly purge the floor. Sure, burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. But when he come, his little meek fella, meek and lowly, it didn't meet up to what John thought it ought to be. But he said, you go tell John I'm running right on schedule. It's all right. Everything's all right. That's the same thing it is tonight. The church, the people of the world has been looking for the Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterians, or some church to put out something to bring Christ back. He's right on time. The lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. He's right on schedule. Amen. There's nothing wrong. He's moving right on.
Right.
God still lives. He's still God. And this righteous man cried out, oh, isn't there a prophet somewhere that we could consult? Now there's one good brother among them. I can hear him say, yes, yes, I know such a man. I know such a man. I can just see him look around to Jerome and say, now, you're not going to believe him. I just know that right now. You're not going to believe this fellow. Because your father didn't believe him. He certainly didn't. And your father had that school up there on the hill with that bunch of prophets up there, so-called, and they didn't believe him. Why, they said, and this man that I know, the spirit of his father is up on him. He does the same thing his father does. He did the same thing that Elijah done. And the spirit of Elijah rests upon Elisha. And I've been to his meetings, and I know it's the truth. Amen. God help us, that's what we want, meetings like that. Where we see the Spirit of our Father, Jesus Christ, which was Elijah, was a type. See, the Spirit, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Oh, brother, that's the one. This good brother said, I know where this man is. I've seen the Spirit of Elijah upon him. He poured water on his hands. He lived with him. And I know that the Spirit of Elijah does rest upon Elisha. I know. Jerome said you couldn't believe that. And all your school of prophets back there wouldn't believe it either, your theological seminary. Because I'll tell you for why. Here's the reason. When Elisha came back and told him that Elijah had been tucked up and he had a double potion of it, why, they said the man's lost his mind. Get a hunting party of about 50 and find out where he did. He never raised up. He's still out there somewhere. And we've tried our ecclesiastical systems. Oh, don't get angry at me. But let me tell you, these ecclesiastical systems have took more than 2,000 years to try to find the lifted up Lord Jesus through educational programs, through theology, through church organizations, and have failed to find him.
Amen.
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 He doesn't come through man-made theology. He doesn't come through organizations. He comes through a surrendered heart by the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Our man-made systems don't find him. Oh, they organized parties and went out and hunted for him and said, oh, no, the Spirit never lifted that man up. Now, be sensible, man. You know, we've all got our Bachelor of Art, and so we know better than a thing like that. A man that sat up here and eat cornbread with us and so forth, while we know that that man couldn't have been lifted up in a chariot of fire. The boy's got all worked up now. He's been across there, and he's come back with a lot of fanaticism. So we know better than that, so just set the old fellow down. His bald head got too hot, you know, and so let's just fan him off a little bit. You all go over there and find out what's taking place over there. Search a sense of party. He said, go on, but you'll not find him. Make fun of me. Call me idiot if you want to. But God has, you'll never find him in your organizational systems. No, sir. He was lifted up. And he comes again in the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you'll never educate people to it. They've got to be born into it. Got to be the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Nothing short, not even mentally work up some emotional or ecclesiastical system or sign, but it's got to be the real, genuine Holy Spirit that brings the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, faith, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, patience. That's it. That's the thing. Yes, sure, Jerome couldn't do it. He wouldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. The school said, now, wait a minute here. Now, we know this fellow's kind of all head up, so we'll let him sit around, and we'll get our groups together, and we'll go out and pick him up again. He's out there somewhere. And that's what we've tried to do for 2,000 years. And Pentecostal people, you're doing the same thing, trying to pick him up by organization. You'll never do it. Separate yourself from other brothers. You've got to come back, and we've got to be one. I don't care if the man's wrong. If he's wrong and sincere in his heart, and you're right in your belief, and you're wrong and acting the way you're acting, I'd rather be in his place than be in yours. That's right. I'd rather be wrong in my doctrine than right in my heart. God will respect it more. So if a man is wrong, what of it? Help him. He needs help. Love him. If you can't love your enemy the same as you love those who love you, you're no better off than the publicans. Right, that's what the church has failed to get. I hope you get it tonight. I hope you see what I'm talking about. It's back to love. Redeeming love. All the other things are fine, but we got to come back to fellowship with one another.
Right.
And people said, I fight organizations. I do not. I fight that system in there that's breaking up brotherhood.
Yes.
I've always done it, and I always will do it. Yes. Right. That thing that separates brotherhood. Let us come together. Let's be brothers. If I could see every church in this city, every church in the world, come like we was the other morning at ministerial breakfast, and I seen the oneness, two-ness, three-ness, and all hugging one another, arms around one another, I'd say like Simeon of old, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. That's right. You can get it broke down a little community, and then the first thing you know, the devil will get back in there, break it up again, and you can, all over, it's you can't do it. It will be done someday. God will send a punishment to them, and they'll have to. So Bishop Jerome, he just would not believe that. He knew he couldn't believe it because his fathers didn't believe it. Elijah was taken up, so how is he going to believe this? Through vain theology, they'd search. Now, we're a school of prophets. We got it all fixed up. We know just exactly what he ought to do. We know just how he ought to do. We know how he ought to behave himself. We know that the only thing you have to do is come in and say, I believe, and I'll shake hands, and we'll sprinkle this way, or baptize this way, or back this way, or out that way, or oh my. And we got it. Now that's just the way it does. And you go ahead and you baptize this way and baptize that way and sprinkle this way and sprinkle that way and take communion this way and that way, and you still find out you got no God. You got a form of rituals. That's all. God is a spirit. Amen. They that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. Amen. God sent his prophets back to tear up the thing and to bring out the truth that will show it. Vain theology. Oh, my. Now, we find out that he said, yes, I know where this certain person is. We'll just go down and, of course, some of them might have wondered about it, but you notice here that Jehoshaphat, that true elected servant of God, said, the Spirit of God is upon him. Yes, sir. He said, this fellow said, I know where there is Elisha. Said he poured water on hands of Elisha the Tishbite. He was the spirit of Elisha is up on of Elijah's up on Elisha. Now I know that he's got the same spirit. So therefore, and as soon as that man of God heard that the spirit of Elijah was resting up on another man, and this man was doing the same thing that Elijah did, he knew that was a real prophet. And he knowed if the real spirit of Elijah was upon another man, he'd do the same thing that the Elijah done. And let me tell you, my brother, let me tell you, my friends, when the spirit of Jesus Christ comes up on the church will do the same thing Jesus Christ did. The works that I do shall you also. And he proved it. He said they would. If they do not, well then, there's something wrong somewhere. They just make God to lie if they say they're a believer and these things doesn't take place. And he said, let every man's word be a lie and his be true. So we find out, he said, this man said the spirit of that real true prophet rest upon him. And then as soon as this elected one, representing the elected church of today, God's elected for this last day, he said, then we'll go hear him because the Spirit of God is upon him. Oh, I like that. Long as we see them things that Elijah done is up on this man, we'll go hear him. This good brother said, well, I've went out a many night and I've heard him and I know this is the truth, so we'll just go over and call on him. So when they come up before the prophet, oh my, what a row he got into. This might kind of hurt his sanctification a little, but he really got all boiled up. He said to Jerome, he said, why don't you go on over to your own prophets? My. Why don't you go to your mammy's prophet? Why don't you go over to your daddy's prophets? Go on over to your formals now and join them if you want to. You're in trouble. Why don't you go on over to them? Oh, nay. He said, but the Lord's brought us out here. He said, we're going to die, we're going to get killed. And that you not only go to die, they're already dead. And all the fruit's dried up and all the spirit gone out of the church. It's already just become a religious organization. Oh, that's right. There's something wrong. If we can't get God back in the church somewhere, what are we going to do? Then we're all going to perish. And when this prophet actually got through bawling out, he said, if it wasn't that I respected the presence of Jehoshaphat, that elected man, I wouldn't even look at you. No. I think that's what God would say tonight. If it wasn't, you people that's bound yourselves off with these different organizations and fussing one another, if it wasn't that God had respect for the people who did believe in him, there never would have been an Oral Roberts or anything sent across the country. There'd never been no signs and wonders. He wouldn't even look at us if it wasn't all of us are guilty. If it wasn't for the elected's sake, if it wasn't for the church's sake, the ones who really believe God, he wouldn't even look at us. That's right. But because there is a people that wants to believe, God's got a messenger for them. Yeah. Amen. The Holy Ghost had been grieved away and gone a long time ago. No. This old prophet really got his righteous indignation stirred up and he bawled them out. And he told them about all these alliances and organizations they were having. He said, nevertheless, said, bring me a minstrel. Oh, he had to get his temper down a little, you know. He got all head up. And so he said, Bring me a minstrel. Now, what about some of you Church of Christ people, so-called, that don't believe in music in the church? After he got all head up, he needed a little music to bring the Spirit on him. That's right. Yes, sir. And remember, God doesn't change. And if a good music brought the Spirit on the prophet then, he'll do the same thing today. That's exactly right, because God loves it. Sure, he said, bring me a minstrel. Well, you say, well, yeah, I ain't the prophet, but maybe you can be part of the minstrel. You know, you can do something towards it. That's all. You got a testimony or something you can do. Yeah. I can see him bring out the minstrel and play All Things Are Possible, Only Believe, and get the Spirit back started again. Only believe, all things are possible. Had to play a little bit before the Spirit come on the prophet. Then when the prophet come on, he saw a vision. Now that's the way, see, he could not do it. The intellectual, elected, great bunch of the high-ups, the kings and potentates on the intellectual, educational side could not see the vision. Right. They were blind. That's the reason tonight they want to call the vision of God a mental condition, a telepathy, a spirit of the devil or something. It's because they're so intellectual they know nothing about God. That's right. It was the vision that told the truth. That was God's program. That was God's way, because the Spirit of the Lord was upon the prophet and the word of the Lord come to the prophet. Yes, sir. And it come how? Through a vision. Yes, sir, it come through a vision, not through intellectual. It had failed, and the same it's done now. And he looked and he saw a vision. He thought, wow, this is it, the spirit of the message. Now what did he see? Now he didn't say, Jerome, you need another degree. And I'll tell you, Jehoshaphat, you've got a little trouble, so you ought to go and study a while longer, because I tell you, you just don't know how to do these things. They don't know how to lead an army or something. It wasn't that. He didn't do that. He said, I'll tell you what you ought to do. You ought to polish up your man. They're not wearing the right kind of uniforms. That's what it is. You ought to make all your clergy turn their collar around so they look like a clergyman, you see. Oh, it'll be in Pentecost pretty soon. It's a little soon, void, isn't it? And the Catholic Church was the first Pentecostal church, remember? That's exactly right. Now, some of you historians deny that. And give Pentecost another 150 years, it'll be farther away than the Pentecostal church is, the rate it's going now. That's right. Oh, yes, the Catholic Church began at Pentecost, and then they organized it and got the big societies in there that wanted to make this and that, and the Nicolaitan conquer the laity and tuck the power away from the laity out there, and the Holy Ghost can't come out there. It has to all be on here, what one fellow says. That's all of it. The Holy Ghost dwells in the whole body of Christ.
So, that was the first side of the cassette. The second we will hear tomorrow. I hope that it was understandable. You all know Brother Branham's way was to say a lot in comparisons or parables. And I think we understood what was said quite well. Not new programs, not new directions, but experiencing a new the work of God through a real outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We believe that following the teaching through the Word, following the correction through the Word, through the introduction into the Word, God will finally let us experience the power of the Holy Spirit as it was in the beginning. We cannot remain as we are now, and it will not work that way. We believe that God will fulfill every promise He has made. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How grateful we can be. Also, the comparison is so apt. The same Spirit that rested on all the prophets at all times, rested on Elijah, rested on Elisha, on John the Baptist, who appeared in the spirit and power of Elijah. The same Spirit is at work today, revealing the Word. and he will come upon those through whom he can reveal the word as the power of God, to bring the word that has been heard to life and put it into action. It is actually very understandable when it says, if the same Spirit rests on us that rested on Christ, that rested on the early church, that was at work in the times of the apostles, then the same must happen. This too has been said to us, to persevere in prayer, in the meetings, even if it goes through the night, until God answers, until it happens. We have already said this here. The same desire must come upon us all, so that we can do nothing else but say, Lord, have mercy on us. Put an end to our shame and give glory to your name by confirming your word and blessing us anew. God will do it by his grace. Let us stand up and thank him together. Perhaps we will sing the chorus, Only Believe.
Glaube nur, glaube nur, alles ist möglich, oh glaube nur, glaube nur, glaube nur, alles ist möglich, weil Jesus ist hier. Jesus ist hier. Jesus ist hier. Alles ist möglich, weil Jesus ist hier.
Wir haben's gesungen.
We have sung it. Now let it come to pass. It is written in the Old Testament, if God is truly with us, where are all his miracles which our fathers told us of? God has already done great things, but we are in the state that was described, withered, dead. God wants new life to emerge, and it is possible. If the tree has not been cut down, if the roots have not been torn out, then it is possible. Every year God shows it to us in nature. He lets what was withered, where there were no more leaves, where nothing remained green, he lets it sprout. Where there are roots, where there is moisture, he brings forth new life. We are planted like a tree by rivers of water. We are to bear fruit. Divine fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. He wants to revive us and give us new fruit by grace. Heavenly Father, we thank you from our hearts in faith that you do this. You cannot do otherwise. You have sent the early rain. You send the latter rain in its season to revive the growth of plants, to let it sprout, to bring forth fruit. Beloved Lord, you know that we are not looking for new ways, not for new programs, not for new kinds of doing things. Beloved Lord, we seek you. We seek you, for you tell us through the prophet, Seek the Lord. Do not go up to Gilgal, and do not go down to Bethel, but seek the Lord, and he will have mercy on you. Beloved Lord, we seek you. We love you. We mean you. You have sustained us until this hour. We have not placed any foreign fire on the altar. We have not created our own wind. Faithful Lord, here we are. We have not evoked our own charisma because we are waiting for you, who alone baptizes with spirit and fire. And when you do it, it will be as it was in the beginning. Then the same thing will happen. Beloved Lord, we want you to take complete hold of us, that we want nothing more than what you want, and indeed become part of your divine plan in these days. Beloved Lord, help me in a very special way. O God, grant me more trust, more faith, more confidence. O God, you have spoken to us. You have sent a prophet to lead us out of all the confusion, to reveal your word and your will. We thank you for that. Yes, we see your word shining like a bright light in a dark place. Lift up your countenance upon us. Help us. Come to meet us and bless us. Take the world out of us. Everything that is not from you does not lead to you. Only what comes from you brings us back to you. Yes, into your presence, beloved Lord. Accomplish yourself this work that you want to see in our midst and in our lives and to the ends of the earth. We thank you, Almighty God, with all our hearts for the sermon we have heard. May we too always have salt with us, as you said in the Sermon on the Mount, have salt with you, beloved Lord, that all the poisoned wells may be restored, so that sweet, lovely, wholesome, fresh water may flow from them. You know the situation. You know all the hardships, all those who poison the wells. Beloved Lord, have mercy that we may not judge them, but take salt with us and put it everywhere, so that decay must give way, and so that everything may be healed to the glory of your name, like the spring at Jericho, which we ourselves have visited, which we have seen, which still bubbles today. Faithful God, then there will be no more miscarriages, no more wrong decisions, no more misguidance. Then nothing will go wrong. Then you will take us under the guidance and leadership of your Holy Spirit. And may it be done in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. My God, help us. Then we will be helped. Bless us. Then we will be blessed. Hallelujah. Praise and honor be to you, our Lord and God, in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen.